You've got your Bible this morning, turn with me to 2 Samuel, chapter 24. Hallelujah. How many love the Lord today? Don't know how long I'll be on this message. I'll preach till I'm done. God is so good. 2 Samuel 24, and I want to start reading at verse number 12. Hallelujah. You know, after we read our text here, I want Brother Micah to lead us in prayer. And I want us to really focus on our need today and the need of our country. And I believe prayer makes the difference. I believe prayer makes the difference. But Brother Micah, when we read our text, I just... help lead us to the Lord in prayer. Verse 12, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come upon thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemy while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. In verse 14. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the, read this with me, the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. Brother Michael, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and praise Him once again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel victory in this house this morning. Hallelujah, I feel victory in this house this morning. Glory to the Lamb of God. Father, we break every stronghold. We pull down every wall today. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, sweet Jesus. Praise you, sweet Jesus. Thank you for victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think it'd be all right this morning if we got Pentecostal. If given the choice, would you choose the hand of man or the hand of God? Think about that. Would you choose the hand of man or the hand of God? David has sinned and judgment had to come. God gave him these three options that I've rehearsed to you this morning. And David concluded in verse number 14. And here's where we're going today. I'm going to talk to you about the hand of the Lord. And many times as I'm getting ready to prepare what I'm going to preach and I sit down, it seems like especially lately, I know what I'm going to preach before I sit down. And I just felt that phrase, the hand of the Lord. And as I delved into the Word of God, I began to discover things I did not know. And that seemed like that's the way it always is. No matter how many times you look into the Word of God, it's this inexhaustible resource that continuously gives and gives and gives. And how many have read the same verse over and over and over? Yet to mine deeper and finer ore out of that, hallelujah, precious resource, the Word of God. David chose the hand of the Lord. And I believe today that we want to choose the hand of the Lord. That phrase appears just like that, hand of the Lord. Now, you've got God's hand and different ways that it can appear, but the phrase hand of the Lord appears 38 times in the Word of God. 17 times, I've done this yesterday and I counted these individually. 17 times it refers to the judgment of God. 4 times it refers to the hand of the Lord in worship and how magnificent it is. 9 times the hand of the Lord was present for revelation. 5 times the hand of the Lord was there for blessing. And 3 times the hand of the Lord was there for power. I want you to find Joshua chapter 4. God's hand was in judgment against Egypt. It was the hand of the Lord described that brought the murrain upon the cattle and the different plagues that came upon Egypt. But the hand of the Lord in judgment was against the nations and was against the disobedient. The hand of the Lord in worship was there to show how great God's hand of action is. And how many can praise God that there's power available to the child of God. Amen. We worship Him for that. The hand of the Lord was in blessing to show how good He is to His children. And I like this November thing that folks are doing and just thanking Him for something different every day. How many recognize we could do that all year long every year and yet never run out of things to thank Him for? The hand of the Lord is present in power to demonstrate, I love this, through the people of God. I want you to know when the power is present and God uses His power through you, you just write it off as it just being God. You didn't have a whole lot to do with it. Can you say amen? And the power of God with His hand in revelation to open man's heart. Now, Joshua chapter 4, before we get to that, I want to define for you hand as used in the portion of scriptures we're going to be talking about this morning. Looking this up in the original language, and I did not know this, but when we refer to hand of the Lord and what David chose, it is the open hand of the Lord. Consider this. The open hand of the Lord. And there's yet another word in the Old Testament Hebrew that refers to the closed hand of the Lord. How many want the open hand of the Lord today? And I began to think about of the ability to do and to work and to function and to activate. We need the open hand to do things. Are you with me? But what does it mean when God opens His hand? Consider this. Consider this. Because when I'm referring to the hand of the Lord, it's the open hand of the Lord prepared and ready for action in behalf of the child of God. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Looking this up, it means a hand, the open one. Indicating these three things. Y'all catch this. Power, means, and direction. And I take that directly from the lexicon, the Strong's Dictionary of Hebrew Words. I'm glad today that my God, with an open hand, has power. With an open hand, He has means or provision. And with an open hand, He gives direction. Can someone say praise the Lord? First of all, I want to talk about the power of God. Do y'all want to stop and shout for a little while as I get into the power of God? Available through the open hand of God. Joshua chapter 4 verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you. Who done the work? God did. Hallelujah. Until you were passed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the open hand, the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, if the power of God is resident in your life and you've had the Lord intervene in some situation in which His power was activated, can you just lift a hand right now and praise Him? Because I believe it's available to every child of God today by the basis of the cross of Calvary and what was done and provided through Jesus Christ and precious blood. The power of God in God's open hand is available for us today. There's rivers that need to be crossed that you can't cross on your own. Hallelujah. Just like the Red Sea and the Jordan, my God still dries up the riverbed. Hallelujah. God still removes obstacles out of the way and things that hinder His children. I don't know about you, there's been many times I've come up against a wall in my life. These insurmountable objects that I could do nothing about myself. It's only when I trusted the Lord. It's only when I allowed Him to open His hand in my situation that it made a difference. How many believe that His power shows His worthiness? I worship Him today. I worship Him today. Elijah on Mount Carmel demonstrated the power of God when fire came down from God out of heaven, consumed the offering, consumed the altar and the stones, and licked the water out of the trenches. How many know God done a great thing there? God told, says, you go ahead, you're gonna have an encounter today with Ahab. Now, friends, I want you to know we need to pray. what happened. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and here they're on Mount Carmel. Here Elijah's demonstrated the power of God, and after these things happened, he then had a time of prayer. He went out and he threw himself down and he prayed. And what was he praying for? Someone say rain. He was praying for rain to affect a nation. I believe today we need folks that'll pray for our country. And what we've got going, have me understand, don't need to stop on Tuesday. Regardless of how the election turns out, we don't need to stop praying for our country on Tuesday. But Elijah was such a man, so bold, that he prayed that it not rain, and it didn't rain. And after this 3.5 year period of time, he prayed, and he prayed, how many times? 7 times, and then he seen the cloud the size of a man's hand, so he knew the answer was on the way. But I love 1 Kings 18:46. You don't have to turn, where that after this occurred, it said, and the hand of the Lord, say that with me, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, if I'm understanding this correctly, that was about a 16-mile trip. Can you imagine a man of God just tightening the belt on his overcoat and just sort of just warming his feet up a little bit? And as the Holy Ghost gets a hold of him, he outruns a not just any chariot, but the king's chariot with the king's horses all the way into Jezreel. And I have to believe when he got there, he wasn't even winded. You know why? Because it was God doing the running through him. Can you say amen? He had an encounter that day with the hand of the Lord. There was power, oh my goodness, available to him because it was God's open hand. Glory to God. Lift your hands and praise Him in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Find the book of Acts, chapter 11. And as you are, I want to share a story that happened to me 25.5 years ago. I think I shared this several years back here in the church. Many of you haven't heard this. But I lived in Casey County. And I was driving to Leslie County to visit my dad. I had an old 1975 Maverick that I had painted with red Krylon spray paint. I bondoed a few places in it, Brother Russell. Can you relate to that one? Praise God. But I was driving my old Maverick, and I was going along, and I was about at a place called Big Creek, right about the Leslie County line. And friends, I'll tell you this the way it occurred, okay? And as I will stand before God one day, I'm rehearsing these to you as accurately as I can. As I was driving along, somehow, some way, the Lord began to just vex my spirit. I don't know how to describe it any better than that. I had no reason for this. I didn't know what it was for. And the further I drove, it was just like my spirit was being twisted inside of me. I had to pull over on the side of the road. And stopped on the side of the road. I said, okay, Lord, you've got my attention. I looked at my watch and I noted the time. I turned around and went back home and felt total peace. I was at home for just a few minutes. Needed to go see my dad, so I got and started this journey once again. I got to the place where I was prior, where I'd pulled over on the side of the road. And I said, okay, I'm listening, Lord. I got to that place and I looked at my watch once again and I was exactly 30 minutes hindered. God slowed me down by 30 minutes and He had me look at my watch and I made note of the 2 times. If you're with me, say praise the Lord. Got into Leslie County, got and went up Coon Creek. I'm from Coon Creek. How many like to live on Coon Creek? That's where my dad's from, where I lived prior. And as I came along, right there in front of the old Cinda post office, there was a line of cars. And I pulled up behind the line of cars there, and I got out of my vehicle. I left my vehicle running, didn't know what was going on. But several cars, 4 or 5 cars was in front of me, and I went around and looked, and there was a man in the road that had been run over. And I asked what went on. He said there was an altercation. Shots were fired. I said, when did this happen? They said about 30 minutes ago.
So I thought, well, we'll be here a while. The ambulance is on the way. The man's in the road there. They're taking a light and they're running it, checking his pupil to see if his pupil would dilate for brain activity. I'm walking back to my car. And the Lord speaks to me and says, pray for it. And I thought, you know, that 30 minutes just rung, Brother Russell, has rung something in my spirit. God's in the arrangements here. God has orchestrated this thing. So I'm walking back to my car to turn off my motor. And I walk back and I asked the man. And the man actually was there, was a cousin of mine, Levi Stidham. And I said, would you mind if I prayed for him? And he said, go ahead. And friends, I want to tell you what happened. Before I could say a word, I reached down and I put my hand on this man's head. And he sat up before I could utter my first prayer. It wasn't my prayer that done anything. The ambulance showed up a few minutes later. I found out he went to the hospital. They let him go. But at that time, and y'all have heard me testify of how I used to be in a rock and roll band, and we used to sing that song, we've sold our soul for rock and roll, and we've got the devil on our side. God assembled an audience that day, and there were two of the people in that band there that witnessed that. A few days later, I know one of them got saved, and now the other one has since got saved. And I think the greatest miracle here isn't so much that God touched a man, but God timed all this, God prepared an audience, and God planted a seed. How many can praise God that He knows what He's doing? But I felt the hand of the Lord upon me in every part of that. Now, I've said that because of Acts chapter number 11. Are y'all ready to shout today? Because, praise you, Jesus, the open hand of the Lord is there to provide the means, the provision. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that sees and provides. Help me understand, as Jehovah Nissi, He's the Lord, our banner. I want you to know He's all things to His children. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the root and offspring of David. And He is the author and the finisher of my faith this morning. He made the way for me and He died on Calvary. Hallelujah. They placed Him in an empty tomb. But I want you to know death had no control over my sinless Savior. He come out of that tomb victorious over death and hell, having the key. Glory, hallelujah. The greatest means that the hand of the Lord ever provided was the means of salvation. I want you to know you can depart this life sick in body and go to a glorious place called heaven. But if you're sick in your soul and there's sin in your life, you can't go. But you can take that to Calvary and He can take care of that. Can somebody say amen? Verse 20, and some of them, Acts 11 and 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, hallelujah, hallelujah. What was they saying? Preaching the Lord Jesus. I'm going to have me a fit today. And notice when they was preaching the Lord Jesus, it says in the hand of the Lord. I'm going to tell you the open hand of the Lord was there, providing means. This provision, the hand was there with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Family are thankful that the hand of God can bring salvation. I want you to know the hand of the Lord is the shepherd's hand. I love this. The good shepherd makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But through His hands, He gently leads and directs the children of God. Which is the third one. I'm flying through this. The power of God in His open hand. The means of God in His open hand. And lastly, the direction of God. Follow me to 2 Kings. The greatest prosperity isn't sowing your $1,000 seed in some televangelist. Someone say amen. The greatest prosperity is when the message of Jesus Christ and redemption is preached and a soul gets saved. Greatest prosperity. So many examples. Verse 15. But now bring me a minstrel. Did I say a chapter? No. Then you don't know the chapter, then do you? Chapter 3. I'm glad somebody is following, paying attention today. That was a test y'all passed. 2 Kings 3, verse 15. The shepherd's hand leads. But it's odd sometimes what God will ask us to do. How many of y'all, the Lord has to give you all the details before you'll do anything? If God just says, go over and do this, are you going to say, why? Or are you going to say, yes, Lord? I believe we just need to obey. And I don't know how many blessings, and y'all will say amen to this, I don't know how many blessings have came just because somebody unknowingly done something they felt the Lord wanted them to do without knowing the reason why. Amen? How many can attest to that? It happened many, many times. Bring me now a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played. In other words, they had song service. That the hand of the Lord came upon me. And again, it's what? The open hand. The open hand for power. The open hand for means or blessing. And the open hand for direction. The hand of the Lord came upon this man of God. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Now, can you see this army getting ready to fight this battle, unknowing what's going to happen because they're outnumbered and they're afraid? And here the man of God says, okay, soldiers, I want you to start digging this valley full of ditches. Well, what happened? God filled those ditches with water, then allowed the reflection of the light to look like blood and scared away the enemy. They didn't understand why. All they knew was, get your pick, get your shovel, get your mattock. Amen. And how many roll up your sleeves and says, okay, let's just start digging. The Lord says, dig. Let's just start digging. Why are we digging? I don't know, but we're just going to be digging. It makes a difference. One more place, Ezekiel 37. And this will be the last place I ask you to turn this morning. Ezekiel 37. Who knows what this chapter is about? I didn't realize it till years after I become a Christian, but that old song, the knee bone's connected to the thigh bone. Thigh bone's connected to the hip bone. I don't know. I think that's where they get this. This is a prophetic chapter of the nation of Israel and how God restored them after many, many years. But I want you to consider this. Hallelujah. I love the Lord today. Don't you love the Lord today? I want you to let me read this and let me pose a question to you after I read it. Verse 1, it says what? The hand of the Lord. God's open hand was upon me. And what did he do? He carried me. Carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. The question I want to ask in regard to this scripture is, would God's hand place you where it was dryness and death? Now, before you answer it, I want you to think, would God's hand place me somewhere that was less than just this fruitful watered garden? I believe the Lord needs a light in a dark place. And I believe, yes, the hand of the Lord would. And I can't always answer these questions. You've heard me say this before. Someone will come to me and says, Pastor, why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, and we try to answer and justify these things in our mind, why? But I'm going to tell you, God knows. And I'll tell you something even further. I'm content to stay at God knows. Although I may not know, I'm content to say God does know and he understands. Someone say amen. Consider this, Jesus' hand saves. Do you recall when Peter was drowning, it says, our Lord by the hand took him and lifted him up out of the water. How many has the Lord pulled you up out of the water? you're on the verge of drowning, the hand of Jesus saves. The hand of Jesus heals. And this is significant. Multiple times, he touched the unclean leper physically, which was actually forbidden in the Old Testament law, but I don't think leprosy would dare attach a hold of Jesus, though. I don't think it possible. He had no fear of it spreading to him. He brought the healing. Can someone say amen? But he touched him. And I don't know, but there's been many times in my life I felt like an outcast. I felt unclean. I felt totally separate, just like the lepers. I felt banished, but the Lord, in His loving touch, touched me. How many ever went to the house of God thinking, I don't deserve anything the Lord has for me, but all of a sudden, somehow, some way, you can't explain it, He still blesses your socks off. He still touches you. It's called the mercy of God. Now, the religious folks can't explain that one. Hear me now. But it's because of His goodness that we receive anything. Number three, the hand of Jesus restores. Malchus' ear was cut off, the servant of the high priest, when Peter, in his anger in the garden, took that sword out and done what? He cut it off. And Jesus picked it up and put it back on. He restored it back. How many know the hand of Jesus restores? Number four, the hand of Jesus lifts. There was a child Jesus just delivered from demonic possession. He appeared dead. The scripture says Jesus reached down and lifted him up by the hand, and he was restored. Number five, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, our Lord, when he was transfigured and his face became white as the light, James, Peter, and John were there. And what? They were in fear. Jesus came over and touched them and said, "Fear not." How many believe that the touch of Jesus removes fear? How many times our Lord touched eyes and He healed? And you know, I'm thinking of that. There was a physical healing to those individuals' eyes, but how many here as He touched your eyes and brought you revelation and allowed you to see clearly through His presence and through His touch? Now what we don't need today is another sermon. Somebody say amen. We don't need another sermon. What we need is the hand of God touching us, the place we need. And I just want to encourage you today, through Jesus Christ, the hand of the Lord is open to you. And whatever you need today, I believe our Lord and Savior paid for. Can someone say amen? Let's stand to our feet all over the building this morning. Hallelujah. Brother Micah, I really felt when you prayed. And I believe God is doing a work in our nation. Hallelujah. I'm encouraged. I'm trusting God. And friends, the outcome of the election really is only secondary. It's only a byproduct. The fact God's people are praying is going to make the difference. Continue praying. But we're going to have individual prayer and gather on the altar in just in a few moments. But I want us to have corporate prayer right now. And let's just pray for this local body that God would use us, prepare us, and that He would have His way. Let's agree together. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We honor You this morning. Thank You for Your hand extended. Thank You for an open hand available to Your children. Thank You for Your touch and Your power. Thank You, Lord, for Your amazing grace and Your love. Thank You for Calvary and precious blood that was shed upon the cross that we could have total victory in our lives. Thank You for being able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You're greater than we can imagine. We just praise You this morning, Lord, for what You've done every time that You've moved. Thank You, Lord, for Your touch and power this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Church, just lift your hands and worship Him right now. Hallelujah.